In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. A few weeks ago, we heard the miracle story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 7 fish and 2 loaves of bread. It astounded those present that so many were fed with so little, and they still had 12 baskets of leftovers. So because of that miracle, many of these 5,000 became followers of Jesus. And for the last few Sundays, Jesus has been teaching these new followers about the bread he has to offer them in what is known in John's Gospel as the Bread of Life Discourse. And that discourse comes to a climax today. And the rubber is about to meet the road, if you will, as Jesus tells them yet again what the bread that fed them really is. "I am the bread of life," he says. "If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have eternal life." Now I've got a question. Why did Jesus decide to talk about something so disdainful as eating his flesh and drinking his blood? The people were already with him. They were bona fide followers. It's not like Jesus didn't have some other miracle story or a healing he could pull out or a parable he could have told them about who he really is. But this talk of drinking his blood and eating his flesh, well, as I said to those of you who were here last week, it raised the eyebrows of first century Orthodox Jews. For them, his words were not easy to understand because this teaching was in direct contradiction to the Holiness Code, a code they knew by heart, etched in their minds. Blood in the Holiness Code is sacred because it gives life. So blood cannot be drunk, it has to be sacrificed. And then eating flesh, it's just also creepy. And this morning, these new followers find their voice and they question Jesus. "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" Or if you want to read it another way, what they're asking is, "How can we understand this?" Well, they couldn't understand it because they were thinking only with their heads. They were being literal. They weren't thinking with their hearts and their souls or their spirits. And Jesus doesn't give them an easy out or an easy explanation either. Instead, he kind of gets in their face. "Does this offend you?" he asks them. "What would you do if I just ascended to where I came from and left you with nothing?" In other words, Jesus says, if he just ascended into heaven without any explanation, they wouldn't understand that any more than they understand that he's the bread of life. So the bottom line was, if they were going to follow Jesus, they were going to have to give up their need to understand literally everything at this moment. They're going to have to just trust. They're going to have to take some things on faith, even when what he says offends them or goes against what they've been previously taught. But instead, as is human nature, they wanted a rational explanation so they could make a rational decision about continuing to follow Jesus. In short, they wanted to control that fact. They wanted to control whether they would continue to follow Jesus or whether they wouldn't. But Jesus quickly deflates that illusion just like a pin pricks the air in a balloon. "It's not your decision," he tells them. "You don't get to decide. It's God's decision." Jesus reminds them that no one can come to him unless it's granted by the Father. And that's a decision that's never explained in Scripture. It just remains a mystery to humanity. But in short, God simply picks who God picks. So many of those 5,000 people left. We don't know how many, but we do know 12 stayed. And Jesus then turns to them in what I suspect was a rather resolute tone of voice, says, "Do you also wish to go away?" Well, go ahead if you do, because it's not going to get any easier to follow me. The demands are going to get a lot more difficult. Your life is going to be turned upside down. But then comes Peter's reply. And it's a reply that is filled with angst and pathos, or maybe just sheer exasperation. To whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Those words took an awful lot of courage coming from Peter, because Peter was a good and faithful Jewish man who kept the holiness code and the dietary laws just like anybody else that was in that 5,000. But he had found that he couldn't turn away from Jesus because he had glimpsed God in him. He had found the way to eternal life. So he had to follow, even if it meant living a life that was light years from what he had planned for himself, or having turned away from all the previous things taught to him. And that brings us right back full circle to the feeding of the 5,000. Everyone that came to Jesus that day was hungry, and they were fed. And then they followed him, but some were offended and left. Others chose to feed on the bread of eternal life and live forever in Christ, even if it meant giving up trying to control their own lives and a former life of teaching. And today, my friends, we are faced with the very same choice. Will we trust and believe in Christ without trying to control it? Will we choose faith over fact? Will we choose life over death? I would submit to you that our presence here today in this holy place gives the answers to those questions. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And by the grace of God, there is no place else we can go, because we're home. Amen.